Loreen Tuttle in
The Unexpected.
It was like a bad dream. A monstrous, terrifying dream. I was caught in a fantastic nightmare. I knew that I had to escape or go mad. I had met the unexpected.
The unexpected. A secret future. A hidden destiny waiting for you. Where? When? Who knows? Tomorrow? Today? An hour from now? Perhaps in just a moment. You too will meet
the unexpected.
Before our story, here's a word from your announcer. And now, radio's most famous actress, Loreen Tuttle, in Nightmare. A drama of the unexpected.
It all began so simply with just a knock on the door. I'm coming. Wait a minute, I'm coming. I stared out into the hall, and for a moment I didn't see anything or anyone. Then I heard a voice. A strange, high-pitched, tinny voice, and I glanced down.
Good morning, lady. I've got dolls for sale. Would you like to buy a doll?
He was little, not over 3.5 feet tall, and at first I thought I was looking at a child. Then I realized that he was an old man, an indescribably ugly old man. An evil grin spread over his dwarf-like face, and he held out 2 beautiful dolls.
Buy a doll, lady. See, I have 2 kinds. This one cries. And this one laughs.
Oh, she's so funny. So very funny.
Will you buy a doll, lady?
Oh. All right, all right.
Which one?
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
The one that cries.
No, no, I take the laughter. I need laughter.
Take the one that cries, lady. Take the one that cries.
Why?
Let her shed your tears. But do your own laughing.
Well, if I can't have the funny doll, I won't buy either one.
All right. All right, lady. The laughing one.
How much does it cost?
There is no set fee for laughter or tears. Pay what you want. It will be enough. Perhaps too much.
I gave the dwarf a $5 bill. He shoved it into his pocket, turned, and hobbled away down the stairs. I remember wondering why he didn't stop at any of the other apartments on the floor. Then I shrugged and closed the door. She was a beautiful doll with long golden hair. Her mouth lifted into the most infectious smile I'd ever seen, and her laughter was instantly contagious. Whenever I turned her in my hands, I found myself laughing right along with her. Suddenly, I felt very foolish. What was wrong with me? I was playing with dolls, acting like a ridiculous child. I'd only bought the thing because I felt sorry for the dwarf. I didn't really want it. Then I tossed the doll on the sofa and forgot all about it. Forgot about it completely until later when Richard came by to take me out to dinner. And the subject, for some reason, came up
again. Jenny, what is this thing?
Oh, it's just the doll I bought this morning from a horrible little man that came to the apartment. Bend it over at last. See? Isn't it funny?
Not particularly.
I guess it just seems funny to me. Well, come on, Dick. We've got to hurry if we're going to get to the theater on time. If an understudy can't do anything else, at least she can be prompt.
Jenny, there's something I've been wanting to ask you. Are you sure you want to keep on with your acting?
Keep on with it? I really haven't done any yet. It doesn't look like I will. Marsha Claremont's as healthy as a horse.
No, you'll get a chance someday, Jenny, if you wait long enough. But I wish you wouldn't wait.
What do you mean, Dick?
Well, I'm doing all right now, playing Romeo to Claremont's Juliet as a swell break. And I haven't told you before, but I have had some feelers from Hollywood. Nothing definite, of course.
Oh,
but...
Dick, how wonderful.
So I'm pretty well set for the next few years, and I'd like to share my luck with you.
I'm sorry, Dick. I can't help laughing.
Don't you understand what I'm trying to say?
Of course I do, Dick. The doll makes me laugh. I can't help it.
I'd hoped this would sound serious to you, Jimmy. It's serious to me.
Well, stop the doll laughing, Dick, then I can talk. Please stop the doll, Dick. I want to answer you. Just stop the doll.
You're the only one who's laughing, Jenny, and you're laughing at me.
No, I'm not, Dick. No, I'm not. It's the doll. Can't you hear her?
Goodbye, Jenny. I'm sorry I bothered you, but at least I'm worth a good laugh.
It stopped. As soon as Dick walked out of the room, the laughter stopped. I hurried to the sofa, picked up the doll, and turned it over very slowly. I had heard it. I was sure I'd heard it. And Dick must have heard it, too. Somehow I knew he hadn't. I held it close to my face for a moment, and then suddenly, without thinking, I threw it to the floor. The doll broke into a dozen pieces. But as it shattered, it laughed. Piece by piece, it laughed. I swept the broken bits of wax into the dustpan and dumped them in the incinerator, smiling as I watched them go up in smoke. I was glad to be rid of the hideous object. I never wanted to hear its mocking laughter again. Never. But I did. The doll was gone, yet its laughter remained and followed me. In the subway, eating lunch at the automat, in the dressing room at the theater. And even while I tossed with endless insomnia on my bed at night, I would hear that horrible, contagious laughter. And I would have to laugh, too. I would laugh and laugh and laugh. Finally, when I could stand it no longer, I went to see Dr. Wembley, the psychiatrist, who gave me cold professional comfort at $50 an hour.
Oh, it's nothing serious, Miss Randolph. A mild hallucination. Many people have similar reactions to strain or overwork. I'll give you something so that you can rest more easily. And in a few days, you'll forget all about it.
He was right. Dr. Wembley was right. I did sleep that night, and by the end of the week, the doll had become a nightmare that never really happened. So I wasn't afraid to answer the telephone. Hello?
Hello, Jenny. This is Dick. Come right down to the theater. Claremont's sick.
What?
No rehearsal. You'll just have time to make up and get on stage.
Oh, no.
Did you hear me, Jenny? You're playing Julia tonight. Jenny.
Oh, I can't. Yes, Dick, I heard you. I'll be there.
Ride the lazy pacing clouds and sails upon the bosom of the air.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name, or if thou wilt not be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague.
Jimmy, what's wrong? Jimmy.
What, Montague? It is no hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to
a man. I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Jimmy, control yourself.
I can't help it.
Jimmy.
I just can't help
Please.
It. It's a doll. It's that horrible doll. Out of the theater. The laughter echoed in my ears, driving into my brain until I knew that there would be nothing else left in my life. Nothing but endless days and nights of laughter. The bridge was high above the river. The murky water lapped at the supports with mirthful chuckles. I don't remember jumping. But the next thing I felt was the wind rushing past my face. And the icy water closed over me. Then I awoke. I was in my own familiar bed between clean, cold sheets. My window was open, and the water I'd felt had been the splatter of raindrops against my face. I realized that it was a dream. The whole thing. The dwarf, the doll, the laughter. Nothing but a terrible nightmare. And now I was awake, and the nightmare was over. Oh! It was over forever.
You think the story is over, don't you? But wait. Wait for...
The Unexpected.
Now, here again is your announcer. Here again is Loreen Tuttle in the surprising conclusion of Nightmare, a drama of the unexpected.
I'm awake now and smiling and happy. Nightmare's ended. None of it was real. The dwarf and his laughing doll were just my imagination. Things like that don't happen. I still have Dick, and someday perhaps he will ask me to marry him. And someday perhaps I will play Juliet. My whole life is still in front of me. Wonderful, marvelous life. Oh, I'm coming. Just a minute, I'm coming.
Would you like to buy a doll? See, I have two kinds. This one cries. And this one laughs.
Nightmare, a drama of the unexpected, starred Loreen Tuttle and featured Dawes Butler and Stanley Waxman. It was produced by Alvin C. Gershenson, written by Robert Lippin and Frank Burt, and directed by Frank K. Danzig. And now, this is Hal Sawyer inviting you to listen again soon when another of your favorite motion picture stars meets...
The Unexpected.
The Unexpected is a Hamilton Whitney production, transcribed in Hollywood.